Summer Gamble.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is
Abe. Hello, how are you, Aaron?
Doing well. It's been a busy podcasting day, but now it's a podcasting night.
That's how time works. It's a good one, Aaron. Always on top.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good. Out Now is a film podcast where Abe and I normally discuss new movies weekly. However, every now and then, we like to have these special bonus episodes, whether it's one of our fun commentary tracks or something completely different. And this is different but familiar because it is, right now, the 14th annual Summer Movie Gamble Prediction Show.
Woot woot.
Exciting times lie ahead when it comes to the Summer Movie Gamble. What the plan is for today is Abe and I, along with the guests that we all introduce shortly, are going to go over our picks for what we think are going to be the top 10 highest grossing films of the summer at the domestic box office. And of course, along with our guests we have here today, we have
over 16 other participants
that are going to be involved in this.
Yeah.
We're at 20 total. It's a lot. And we all have thoughts on what's going to do well at the summer box
office. And usually a couple fans listen and drop in their votes too.
Please, fans, listeners, drop in all the entries that you want. Well, drop in one each, obviously. No, I don't want no doubles, but or no scrubs for that matter. But I want to see as many listeners as we can participate in this as usual. But yes, joining Abe and I to discuss the summer movie season and the potential box office status we have from writer for such sites as Looper and The Spool, we have Lisa Lehman.
Oh, I will not go chasing waterfalls during this podcast, I promise. I'm Lisa Lehman, she, her pronouns, the box office bimbo, freelance writer. Good to be with y'all.
Glad to have you here with us, and for your first time, no less, as well. That's also always very exciting to get new participants.
New participants.
Yeah. Sure.
Yay.
Also joining us, a two-time champion of the summer, and the current champion of the Summer Movie Gamble from Fast Film Reviews, it's Mark Hoban.
Hey, everyone. It's great to be back as the reigning champion, and hopefully I will retain my crown.
All hail Mark Hoban.
I do enjoy the peaceful reign that Mark has brought over the championship. So
it much, has been peaceful. Yeah, yes.
Much more tranquil than that Marcus Robinson. That scoundrel Marcus Robinson.
I'd like to think my time
although I do appreciate
before.
His – I do appreciate Marcus's loyalty. He's very – Yes, I don't know.
Yeah, he really
he honors the crown.
The crown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's some real worm tongue shit right there. That's what I think that is.
Gunning for that seat.
Some Iago stuff going on with him over there. But all right,
now do it in your Gilbert Gottfried.
Not that Iago, but that's fine. I don't think I can do it. I don't even want to try Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, Affleck. I don't know.
Pretty
Starring
good.
On!
Yeah,
I lost that deal.
What's happening?
Bob Saget.
I got a joke.
All right, we're great at this. We got to bring Lisa on for one of our impressions episodes.
Now I feel bad. I just remembered that Gilbert Gottfried died. I'm like, oh yeah,
yes,
that's
yeah, he's passed away for a while now. Yeah,
he died and his spirit went into me, I guess.
All right. As explained, this is the Summer Movie Gamble. What is a Summer Movie Gamble? Well, I'm glad you asked. Thanks.
what is happening?
Someone asked me, and I'm thanking them. The plan, as I've already mentioned, is to go over to what we think are predicting the top 10 highest grossing films of the summer box office. The idea is obviously to go through what they're going to be the highest grossing films. Along with that, we have dark horse picks. We also get three dark horse picks, meaning films that we think have the potential to possibly be in the top 10, but we're not decidedly sure if that actually is going to be the case. However, were it actually to enter the top 10, hey, you get an extra point. And so let's go over the point system right now when it comes to the Summer Gamble. So by the end of the summer, once we have all the entries locked, all the movies locked in for where their position on the board is, if you get the first and 10th place picks correctly, that's 13 points right there. If you get second through nine correctly, that's 10 points. If you are one spot away from where
two
the
through nine.
Yeah. Or, yeah, with two through nine, if you're one spot away from where it would have landed, that's 7 points. Two spots away, that's 5 points. anywhere on the board, that's 3 points. So
all this to say, don't worry, we'll do the math.
We'll do all the math, but that's essentially the way it works. There's no way to like stack points. So like every entry on your board is worth whatever the most point value it can get, if that matters to anybody, for those technicalities. And once again, dark horse picks, that's worth 1 point each. So if all your dark horse picks landed on the top 10,
can't hurt you though.
No way can hurt you, but it can help you. But
what really helps is getting something dead on. Like even if it's 100%, like your sixth place, if you get it dead on, that's important.
That has boosted people into the top five of results.
Well, dead ons are clear. And obviously, if you get number one or number 10 correctly, those are pretty good points.
Getting number one is a lot harder than you think.
Getting number 10 is the hardest, I would say.
That is very hard.
Sure. Only some of us have achieved such things in the past. But all right. What we're going to do now is we're each going to go through our lists that we've predicted. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we're going to just kind of go through the summer calendar in general. Yeah. So, you know, if you're all excited to not only hear what we have picked, you get to hear a fun summer preview of what's to come this summer. So.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. Lisa, as our newest member of the Summer Gamble, let's have you go first. What are your picks for the top 10 films of the summer in your dark horses?
Oh my goodness. Well, how about we just go through the top 10 first?
Sure.
So my top 10, just running them through quick, 10 through 1. Number 10, Disclosure Day. Number 9, Scary Movie 6. Number 8, Moana. Then we got Supergirl, Little Mandalorian Grogu. Now we get to the top 5. Devil Wears Prada 2.
Oh, okay.
Then we get number 4, Minions and Monsters. Toy Story 5, The Odyssey, and Spider-Man Brand New Day. And for my 3 Dark Horse picks, Coyote vs. Acme, The House on Oak Street, and a film that has not started marketing yet, but could be this year's It Ends With You, Crazy Rich Asians, in being the August romantic film that breaks out, One Night Only, from director Will Gluck.
All right.
Great.
To be clear, it's the end of Oak Street. The end of Oak Street. Not the house on Oak Street.
They should have called it just Flowervale Street. It's just a lot easier.
It's a better name. All right. Lisa, thank you for that. Mark, what are your picks?
All right. So from 10 through 1, I have Masters of the Universe, Disclosure Day, Supergirl, Devil Wears Prada 2, The Mandalorian and Grogu, number 5, The Odyssey, number 4, Minions and Monsters, 3, Moana, 2, Toy Story 5, and 1, Spider-Man Brand New Day.
All right. And your Dark Horses?
And Dark Horses, I've got Mortal Kombat 2, Scary Movie 6, and Evil Dead Burn.
All right.
I love the variety here. I'm really, I might have to use that Wednesday change here when I.
Oh, see, this is why I was debating whether to be on the show.
No,
I didn't want to reveal my picks until like literally midnight on Friday or whenever it was.
We're recording this on Sunday. Everyone that's participating in this has a deadline of Wednesday, basically before Prada makes any amount of money. Yeah. So, you know, while we're recording this and we're on this episode, these are subject to change, but there is an official spreadsheet that'll be available for all to see.
Right.
There's no funny business.
No, none.
Yeah. going on.
I hadn't even thought about that, but I should have just said the death of Robin Hood 10 times.
You can't stack points, Lisa.
I think it's going to go all the way.
Death of Robin Hood, Fall 2, Ice Cream Man, Super Troopers 3.
Exactly. Machine Detectives.
Deep Water.
Exactly. Deep water. Yeah. Aaron Eckhart.
Passenger.
The re-release of Casablanca, like
that movie's great.
The Fathom event itself, it'll just make $46 million.
Two-day special Fathom event, $46
million. All right, let's hear your picks.
Okay, subject to change, but I'm probably gonna stick with it. Number 10, The Devil Wears Prada 2. Number 9, Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft, The Tour. Number 8, Disclosure Day. Number 7, Supergirl. Number 6, The Odyssey. Number 5, Moana live action. Number 4, The Mandalorian and Grogu. Number 3, Minions and Monsters. Number 2, Spider-Man Brand New Day. Number 1, Toy Story 5.
All right.
Dark Horses, Evil Dead Burn, Backrooms, Jackass Best and Last.
Just typing, sorry.
Yeah. I'll sign these everywhere as well.
Yeah, I got them. So. Great. All right. I shall go next here. My top 10 as of now, and I'm pretty solid with these. Mm-hmm. I have number 10, Disclosure Day. Number 9, Scary Movie 6. Number 8, Supergirl. Number 7, The Devil Wears Prada 2. Number 6, I don't know why the spacing of that was like that. Number 6, The Mandalorian and Grogu. Number 5, Moana. Number 4, The Odyssey. Number 3, Minions and Monsters. Number 2, Spider-Man, A Brand New Day. And number 5, You've Got a Friend in Toy Story 5. Number 1, Toy Story 5.
Right.
My dark horses are Mortal Kombat, Asterisk Yells That, 2, Jackass Best and Last, and The End of Oak Street.
Okay.
All right.
When you say yell Mortal Kombat, do you mean like... Like, yeah, Gilbert Gottfried.
Exactly.
Yell?
Like, yeah, Gilbert Gottfried. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't want to wear it out. So, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm convinced that most movies should yell their title during the production logos. It'll automatically make the movie.
But
better.
This is also why we like movies like Mother, where they actually tell us to exclaim it.
Was that your biggest complaint with, like, the zone of interest when the title card came up? Were you like, why is it not yelling it at me?
It wasn't, like, a conscious complaint, but it is, like, the kind of thing where I'm like, if I'm settling into the zone of interest, it would be really get me into the movie if it went, zone of interest! And then, like, the tech movie
spotlight! Yeah, like hip-hop music, exactly.
Yeah.
They knew Robbie, and then just, like, dropping the beat.
Then the Will Smith title song.
Will Smith.
Once upon a time at the Boston Globe.
Well, that's my other complaint, that more movies don't end with not only a rap song, but a Will Smith rap song in general. Like we've done
specifically Will Smith. Yeah. Tie-in song.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go through this summer here.
All right. As of now, by the way, we do have several picks from other contestants, and we might get into some of those.
Of course.
Go through these, but yeah.
Before we start the schedule, Mark, what was your number one again?
Spider-Man.
So.
A New Day.
Did we each have a different number one?
You and Lisa have Spider-Man.
Aaron and I have the same.
Me and Abe have Toy Story 5.
Toy Story 5.
Okay.
And I will say right now, it is pretty mixed across the board from the ones that we have. It is like, those are the only two though. That's not true. Friend of the show, Todd Liebenow, has Moana as his number one pick.
Hey.
I am so curious what Moana's going to do.
Me too.
We'll get there a little
Lisa,
bit. But,
You had Moana at 8. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
8. Yeah.
I have it.
I'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah.
But we got to talk about Hokum first. Kicking off the summer.
Hokum.
Hard to know him.
Liquor.
So, yes, the first weekend of the kickoff year for this summer for our entry, we have, of course, The Devil Wears Prada 2, as well as Hokum and Andy Serkis's Animal Farm.
Mm-hmm. You guys have put Devil Wears Prada much higher, which is I saw the original total for Devil Wears Prada was very high. But I was like, is it going to repeat? I'm not sure. This is the only one where I'm a little bit. Actually, I had the Billie Eilish one, too. But it's like I have to rethink this since you guys have put it middle of the pack-ish.
I mean,
Disney seems to be doing smartly, which I hate to say because evil corporation. But they are kind of being smart in doing their like. The Pixar Disney Animation sequel approach of like, you haven't seen these characters in a long time. Mm. So now it's a nostalgia thing. We haven't done a DreamWorks Illumination thing where every 2 years we do one of these. Mm-hmm. It's an event. It's like, come back and see Woody and Buzz or come back and see whatever those characters' names are. I just call them Emily Blunt and Anne Hathaway. But like,
and Miranda.
Miranda. But no, seriously, I do think that's probably the biggest thing, as well as the fact that like women. Focused centered films have been so massive.
That's a really good point. Like a
Gal Night Out film like this.
Yeah.
Feels like this is going to be bigger than Thunderbolts last year in terms of summer kickoff.
I think it's combining a few things. It's exactly what you just said. Plus being, a legacy sequel of sorts, as far as it's you know, a lot of time in between entries for a film that was quite well liked and one that I imagine fans constantly talk to, like Meryl Streep and Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt. I was like, when are they going to come back? That'd be great to see. Plus, the Meryl Streep factor isn't nothing. Meryl Streep has been known to knock out some solid hits when she's in the right
also,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
She hasn't been in a theatrical movie in 6 years.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've seen Meryl Streep
popping up, you know, guest voices and guest parts, but yeah, not in a theatrical, yeah.
I think the fact that you've got all the original stars coming back is huge. Then a big part of it is the movie going to be good? I mean, that is the real thing. So if it connects with audiences, I think it will still be successful, even if it isn't that great. But if it's really connects with people and it kind of wittily, you know, honors the original and maybe takes the new one off in a different direction that kind of captivates people, I think it could be huge.
Right.
I think we're at a point where it's, I'm not going to say critic proof, but if it's giving you the thing that people want, which is basically Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep and Emily Blunt trading quips at each other while looking great, I think that's pretty much the low bar it needs based on how audiences seem to be reacting these days to these nostalgia plays, whether it's Mario or just now Michael, as far as like, if you're giving me that thing, I don't really need much else. They've subtracted Adrien Grenier, so that's already a plus right there, too. I mean, everybody's winning, it seems, from this new sequel. It'd have to be like a really garbage entry in this, you know, the franchise that is a Devil Wears Prada to not connect on some level, I think.
Sure. So,
plus, Abe, I mean, the movie's also tracking like $80 million.
Right, I know. I was looking up like what it's tracking. I kind of gave it that as like its run. But I think the other thing to sort of keep in mind is that if you look at the rest of the weeks, which we're going to get to in the next few weeks here, it kind of has a lot of room to run.
It does.
It has a runway.
Yeah, not a ton of like major movies, you know, in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, we'll get there.
It's that's why the opening film of the summer tends to do some of the strong, you know, when you have a Marvel movie that opens in summer.
True.
It has a lot of time to just keep making that money because it becomes a default entry of something to watch. So
yeah,
I will say a couple of years ago, I sort of bet heavily on The Fall Guy as being the opening film of the summer. And that ended up like, I think maybe it hit number 10, just barely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that it the opening film of the summer doesn't really mean the same thing as it used to anymore.
Sure.
Well, but it's not a giant superhero movie. It's a little bit different.
Or it's not based on a brand people care about. The differences between The Devil Wears Prada and The Fall Guy in terms of mainstream cultural recognition isn't just a gap. It's like the distance between, like, I don't fucking know, Belgium and Los Angeles. Like,
oh, it's pretty far.
The Devil Wears Prada gets quoted every fucking week with the, like, are you wearing the blank? Yes, I am. Or like any other line. Who the fuck that's under 70 knows who the fuck the Fall Guy is? Like, nobody's like, Lee Majors? Oh, shit. Ryan Gosling's the new Lee Majors. Like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, well, excited.
Devil Wears Prada 2 has
the added benefit of surprises for people. Specifically, I haven't seen Kenneth Branagh in any of the ads.
I didn't realize he was in the movie. Well, I think I probably did. Either. I forgot. So,
yeah.
He's playing a Russian oligarch.
Like, you know, solving mysteries.
He's Meryl Streep's husband?
Oh, my gosh.
And he might be Russian?
Her newest husband. Okay.
Okay.
And she's been like,
I love my wife.
I rewatched the first one, so I know she's been divorced like four times already. So this is all right. We'll see what Kenneth Branagh.
I've got to rewatch it before this weekend.
We'll hope if things don't run Artemis Fowl for her.
Yeah. Well, a strong kickoff to the summer.
Oh, but the last thing I was going to say, if this does somehow not, like, it just severely underperforms, then we can just easily blame, you know, box office poison Emily Blunt based on both Free Guy and this. And then you have to worry about Disclosure.
Well, exactly. She's got another movie this summer.
No!
Yeah. Well, what comes up next weekend or the following week?
Nothing on Hokum.
we talked about it in our regular episode for the week. Yeah.
Hokum!
I will say they've been doing a fun, like, they have character posters. That's always fun. I get that Hokum's not going to make like a ton of money, but it's nice that they're like, oh, they're trying.
It's a neon film.
They've got some work out there.
If it gets $6 million on opening weekend, they're going to be like, hooray!
All right, the next weekend, the rare weekend where the Friday is exactly my birthday, we have Mortal Kombat 2, The Sheep Detectives, and Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft, The Tour, directed by James Cameron and presented in 3D, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, lots of words in that title. Abe, you and Marcus so far, I believe, are the only two that Marcus has it as a dark horse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill Nash has a lot of fans.
Also.
Oh, hey, Mark has it too. Wait, Mark and Marcus have a dark horse or in their. Or I'm the only one that has it in the top 10.
Yeah. Okay. Marcus has it as a dark horse.
Got it. Okay.
Mark, what'd you say?
I also have it as a dark horse.
No, Billie Eilish, not Mortal Kombat.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. We'll get to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Billie Eilish, she's got a lot of fans. 3D. I looked up concert movies. They do okay. But I don't know. Unless your name is
Taylor Swift, that ain't going.
I was like, that was like a bonkers run that she had.
It's a big swing.
Taylor Swift. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift to Michael Jackson. They're the two that outperform.
Yeah.
Like Bieber had one too.
Yeah. But I mean,
Concert movies, they overperform because they come out when there's nothing else out. That's the key.
True.
That's summer releases typically.
Yeah. So I might have to listen to the King Mark Hoban's words.
But you should keep it though.
Are you playing a game with me? I can't tell right now.
Go with your heart. No.
Go with your heart.
Go with my heart. Okay. All right.
Your heart will go.
Listen to your heart.
I don't want to be a bad guy.
Hey. I'll think about it. But yeah, you guys are making me think here. But anyway, yeah, Mortal Kombat 2.
Mortal Kombat 2, which is tracking quite well currently. Thank you.
Very bizarre that it's tracking as well as it is. I guess I think it's Mortal Kombat's very popular. It's just that the 2021 version didn't seem to strike a chord with anybody.
But it was the most popular release of Project Popcorn for HBO. I mean, it certainly played well.
Yeah, but like a lot of people do like ketamine, but I don't know if they're like really taught. Well, actually, never mind. People really like doing ketamine, so maybe that's a bad comparison. Bad metaphors aside.
It's got Carl Urban coming in, you know, kind of taking
lead.
Box office dynamo Carl Urban, yes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, you know, aside from like.
But he is Johnny Cage. I get what he's
Johnny Cage, yeah. And so it's like this close to my Dark Horses as well.
I had it in my 10 for a while, and then I just shuffled a few things around. I'm like, well, there's just no space for this. But I like the logic I have for removing it from my top 10, even though I still think it's a dark, I still think it has plenty of chance to make a good amount of money regardless of this game.
Yeah.
I think it will open very strong. And if it's well-liked, it has a couple weeks to kind of keep things, it has a whole week basically to keep things going for a bit. Mm-hmm. And it could take its big dive or whatever because it's a video game movie, unless it's like Mario or something where it's the default thing to see an R-rated, heavily violent video game film in the midst of summer. I think that's going to appeal to like a certain fan base, but I don't necessarily think it's going to have the strongest of holds when you have just other things coming out week after week. However, if it has a very large opening, that doesn't hurt at all, which I think it certainly has potential to. The first one came out during the pandemic, during the Project Popcorn thing. I think that was a lot of, I wouldn't say it was necessarily going to like be this giant hit, but I do think there's money left on the table just because people didn't get a chance to see it in theaters in the same way they're going to get this one.
Yeah.
To see this one.
Made like $43 million, so not terrible.
On a weird curve, but that one was, for the most part, liked well enough. Mm-hmm. Enough where this could easily become a breakout sequel. Maybe not like a huge breakout sequel, but certainly one that will possibly make more in its opening weekend than the first one did in an entire run, which is not enough.
The last one, it came out sort of in the pandemic, didn't it?
April 2021. Yeah.
So that wasn't. It's hard to judge things in that bubble. I think this could definitely easily break out and be a much bigger hit.
And frankly, I just think it looks fun. I mean, I think it's delivering what people that enjoy that game or enjoy the kind of violent spectacle that's provided by it. I think it looks like it's doubling down on that even more than the last one.
Yeah, like said a different way, I think it's kind of found its footing, like the tone that it's going for. Mm-hmm. And they're just not afraid to be like, no, we know that we're a schlocky video game. We're just going to go for it. Kind of we haven't talked about it yet, but like kind of the way that I feel the Street Fighter trailer kind of goes.
They're certainly leaning into the let's just make it like the thing that people see on the video game.
Right.
Which is not hurt certain video game movies.
So. Yeah.
All right. How about the Sheep Detective? Anything for that?
Good.
I almost put that in my dark horse. It could connect with families. There's something about it that might be fun.
Yeah. This might be the summer of Hugh.
It's Hugh Jackman is not a box office draw unless he's singing or a mutant, but cute animal movie over Mother's Day weekend. The fact that it actually looks kind of fun and not It is shocking how good that trailer is, considering it is. It looks it, on paper. It sounds like Beverly Hills Chihuahua with sheep, but directed by a Minions director. But looks pretty solid. And
this is a solid cast, by the way. So huge, huge cast. Cast. Yeah.
So if Amazon can market it well enough and they get the families out, they won't have any more family competition for a couple of weeks. Mando's coming, sure, but
you know,
fucking Ferdinand opened the same day as Star Wars, and they did fine. So
obviously, I haven't seen the Sheep Detectives yet. However, based on the trailer, I'm guessing that Hugh Jackman isn't in the movie very much. So I don't know, like, if people who go to see him will be happy, or if maybe he does appear a lot in the film, and it just, but the story kind of implies that he does not, you know. Make it very far in the trailer.
So. I'm going to see it in Hue Vision. That's where they have four pictures of him in all four corners of the screen. So he's always present wherever you go.
They're playing that one incest romance movie he did in 2002. What was that called? Where he's like the time traveling guy. Cate Leopold. Cate Leopold.
Oh, that's how you refer to that movie?
I was like, that was about incest.
There was a weird incest.
Meg Ryan?
There.
There's some, if you think too hard about the time traveling, it makes it less, it makes it weirdly structured. Yeah. Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. I slept with my own grandmother.
Oh, no.
All right. Next weekend, a bit more low key.
Busy weekend.
We have, it's a busy weekend, a little more low key, though. We have Guy Ritchie's In the Gray, we have Is God Is, and Obsession.
Mm hmm. I have a question for you guys. Yeah, around Obsession, and I know that some of you may have seen it already. Did it enter your mind for possibly a dark horse for Obsession?
No.
Okay.
No.
If Backrooms wasn't coming out 2 weeks later, yes.
Okay.
But I haven't seen it yet. I've heard nothing but good things, and it's got a killer concept, like a good ass just campfire story concept.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a brick like even. 78 like Happy Death Day, but I could see it doing like 8 to 9 on opening weekend and then doing like 30 domestic, like, and that would be perfectly respectable for a $1 million
higher than what studio I've got it at.
Well, it's a Blumhouse, it's Focus and it's Blumhouse. Okay, I have seen it and it's quite worthwhile, but as far as being a movie that's going to make a ton of money, I'd be surprised if it raised that high.
I kind of gauged it in like this companion together type zone.
Similarly,
I just have to add, I'm looking at the description of the movie and on Wikipedia, a scene depicting a character getting their head smashed had to be cut down by 6 or 7 smashes in order to avoid receiving an NC-17.
Wow. Okay, so we're in that kind of movie mode.
So that's like not for me.
I will go watch this with my hood on.
You'd be, Mark, you'd be surprised. I take you haven't seen the trailer for this movie.
No, I haven't. No, I don't know much about it. So.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah. What was the next thing you're going to ask, Aaron?
I was going to say Is God Is. That's from Amazon again. I'm happy it's getting the promotion it's getting because everyone I hear that talks about, because I've also seen that, but I've also seen the trailer, and everyone that references it is excited for it, which is cool. It's good to know that people want to see
it. Wait, you've seen it too, Aaron?
I have, yes. It's quite good.
cut this part out just because I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it yet. But it fucking rocks. It's probably up there in my top 5 or 3 of the year. It fucking spreads.
I'm a big fan.
Alicia Harris. I can't believe this is Alicia Harris's first movie. Yeah. I know she wrote the play. But Jesus Christ, she's so confident behind the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. If there is a merciful God, that would be like number one for the summer, but it won't.
Well, you guys got me excited for it.
And there's a film, we'll talk about this in a couple seconds for the next week's film. It is one I also hope has more potential box office legs. Mm-hmm. But as far as that goes. And then we have In the Gray from Guy Ritchie. I like the Guy Ritchie's just like, whatever, they'll make what it makes. I'm just going to keep doing what I do.
I'm just going to keep making movies. Yeah.
I think he's solid, actually. I like
Guy Ritchie.
I find him very entertaining.
That he's just like, you know, making projects. You know?
Some of them don't work, but like...
Yeah, but he's trying.
I was talking about this the other day with, I think you, Abe, or something. Like, we don't get the sort of the Bruckheimer films anymore where there's like just, they're like these action movies loaded with tons of character actors.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Ritchie's like the closest we have to someone doing that, where regardless of how good the movie is, it provides basically an entertaining time, but it's like loaded with people that are just like, get to see them show off.
Yeah. Like, didn't he do like Ungentlemanly Warfare or something?
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's like the one guy that he has Henry Cavill like being good in movies, which is, you know, nice to see. He before Trap, he brought back Josh Hartnett with a couple movies.
True. Mean,
the Operation was the Fortune like, was enjoyable.
Yeah. Rouge de Guerre.
Yeah.
And then also
slips off the tongue that title.
Yeah. Like, what was that Josh Hartnett movie? Wrath of Man. Right?
There's Wrath of Man. Yeah. Yeah.
So he did bring back. He helped the Hart Renaissance.
In the Gray, which we have not talked about as a movie, is what it's Jake Gyllenhaal and Henry Cavill and Isaac Gonzalez, right?
I think so. Yeah. But
the trailer is awful.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's not the best. It didn't set me on, beyond just knowing what it who's in it and who's involved in it. The trailer itself was like, all right,
we'll see.
The trailer features one of my least favorite archetypes in modern film, which is that there is one woman and she is only around to be like the mother to the wacky male characters. Isa's just always saying things like, "Oh, you boys," instead of getting to be wacky. I want to see her like fumbling with a rocket launcher.
Which she kind of got to do in Ungentlemanly Warfare. So I'm like, oh,
yes,
she gets to do
she's
more
the best
of
part of that movie.
Yeah, she has some of the best scenes in that movie for sure.
She's great. Right. I think that bombs.
Yeah, ooh, I'm not expecting too much.
Yeah,
if that made
much
less than the Shrek re-release that weekend, I wouldn't be shocked.
I did not give it that much thought to give it even a number.
It's coming from Black Bear Pictures, which is still a very new studio as well. Uh-huh. So I'm, you know, it will do what it does. The weekend after that, of course, though, we have
I Love Boosters.
We have I Love Boosters. We have Passenger.
Uh-huh.
We finally get Corporate Retreat so we can stop seeing those previews at AMC and Regal Theaters.
Thank God.
and we
they
get
rated
the
highly on Yelp.
And we get The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Uh-huh.
I Love Boosters. And what? Sorry?
And Rada the Hutt.
And Rada the Hutt, yes. Bruce Springsteen himself.
Jeremy Allen White.
Hutt's like us, we were born to run!
That'd be a great song, Diane.
As I was just kind of mentioning, I compared to Is God Is, I Love Boosters, which I'm finally getting a similar kit as far as just kind of like out there abstract films featuring black filmmakers and creatives. I think I Love Boosters, I'm not going to say it's going to be a ginormous hit, but I think Sorry to Bother You has, you know, held on to a pretty solid reputation.
Oh, I love that movie.
I think that you have Kiki Palmer, among others, that make up a pretty exciting cast. I think if it's marketed right, regardless, again, of this game that we're playing, it could be a pretty small or a pretty decent hit to itself.
Yeah, and I hope that it is.
It's got a great cast. Yeah. Like, there's just a bunch of people that look like they really are vibing in the same thing. And I don't know why it took Boots Riley 8 years to come out with another movie. You might know why, but...
Well, he made a TV show called I Am Virgo, which was quite great on Amazon. But I think
I don't know how it exists.
I'm similar, but at the same time, I think his projects, you know, there's a level of
care and craft,
along with just the bizarre nature of what he's kind of pitching. Right. So I think it's a matter of finding the studio that's willing to support something like that.
But look at all the talent that he attracts.
Exactly.
He's got Kiki Palmer. He's got Demi Moore. He's got Will Poulter. He's got Lakeith Stanfield.
It's one of his staples, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say it's been an easy road for Boots Riley, but at the same time, I know he's a very busy person who just had a TV show that was also well acclaimed.
Right.
That's Sorry to Bother You. So it certainly built him up esteem so he could kind of reach out. And whatever that timeline was with either writing this thing and along with, you know, performing as a musician with his band and everything.
He's quite artistically talented. I really enjoy that what he's been doing with like this current press run and sort of everything that he's doing with his photos that he's posting to Twitter.
I love those too.
Yeah, everything that he's just like talking. He's helping to hype up the movie as much as he can. He's retweeting like anybody that talks about it, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of a little bit of Guillermo del Toro. But above all things, you know, I love that he's still just Bay Area. You know, like this movie set in the Bay Area. He just like, well, he's probably going to show up at like the Grand Lake Theater and just be like, surprise, I'm here. Like, this is great.
All right, so I Love Boosters. We're all looking forward to it for sure. Hopefully, it could be.
I am stoked.
It's on somebody. Where is it? I think we have.
Oh, somebody put it on the top 10.
I think we have a dark horse on some. Yeah, Terrence Johnson.
Hey, all right.
Has it there for Dark Horse. I don't see it anywhere else currently, but all right.
Great.
Of course, the big release of that week is The Mandalorian and Grogu. This mm-hmm. is Memorial Day week, or at least the week is it? It's what the weekend before Memorial
weekend
Day.
Weekend before, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's Memorial Day weekend.
Is it exactly Memorial Day? Okay, it is Memorial Day week. That's right. Yeah, it's Star Wars. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. So, yeah.
Actually, it's interesting. Aaron and Lisa and I all put it at number 6. Abe, you have it at 4, I believe.
I have it quite high.
I would have put it a little lower, except some of the marketing seems to be getting better.
Okay.
I think they're based on what I see in the trailer. I really think they're going for families. It looks like a film for children. Not bad. I'm not saying that as a bad thing, but it does really look like they're going for the family market, and that could succeed if it really, you know, connects in that way.
Yeah. There's a big question mark around this, because I do think the Star Wars brand itself, I'm not going to necessarily say it's been dinged, because I think that really largely applies mainly to Twitter or just the online sphere as far as the regard for Star Wars. At the same time, it's like, it's not prime Star Wars, right? It's this other thing.
Oh.
And, you know, it's a TV, it's based, well, it's like essentially.
No, I was saying, oh, because I think I made a mistake in one of my math equations here. So, I certainly lowered my expectation for The Odyssey. So I guess I'm gonna have to revise it for you, Aaron, later.
Thank you. Okay, I was curious about that, but Mandalorian, I feel like the closest comp, Lisa, you can maybe support me on this. I think Solo is probably like it's the kind of range that we kind of looking at as far as like
the Solo is the one in box office. The worst case scenario is this ends up like the Marvels in terms of the movie that people kept texting me to ask, is this a movie?
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought it was a TV show.
See, that, I think that hurts it a little bit because of the fact that it is a TV show. Yes. So I think it cheapens it a little bit. But I still think, I mean, honestly, I hear people complaining that they think the trailer looks cheap. I actually think it looks good to me. I
would agree.
I thought some of the special effects, that one monster that's like, I don't know, some kind of a worm. I didn't mm-hmm. really know what it was. But I was like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. I mean, I was kind of captivated by it.
I think that's why they've been trying to emphasize in the marketing, which the Marvels didn't do, has been like, filmed for IMAX. It's in IMAX. Look, we did it for the IMAX. It's not. Even though if you watch like a 15-second ad, the images might not look discernibly different from the streaming show, which could be a little confusing.
It can be. And I like to credit for the streaming show. It's a very expensive streaming show. Like, it looks,
I was going
to
say, the streaming show looks good.
So it's like,
yes,
I can understand that to a degree, but it's like, that's like a weird problem to have. Our show looked too good, therefore our movie is merely matching it how good the show is. But I do think especially because we're coming closer to the release date, the market is only going to ramp up. I think it's doing a good, like you're saying, Lisa, I do think it's doing a better job of selling itself now than maybe it was a year or, you know, 6 months ago when it first premiered its trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you want to go for the basic appeal, people like Baby Yoda. People like Grogu.
They highlight him in that trailer a lot.
Yeah. Because why wouldn't
almost
you?
To it's the point Grogu. Where it becomes funny.
It's also the cast, the characters they've announced so far, the film's cast is so damn small so far in that it seems to just consist of Mando, Grogu, Embo, the big guy.
Kind.
The Rada, who is a six pack, and Zeb from Rebels. So it's like,
and Martin Scorsese.
Okay, and Scorsese and Sigourney Weaver. So like, okay, so there's probably other characters in this, and I mean that as a positive. If you give people more than what they expect, there could be like a positive thing. I'm not saying I want Luke Skywalker to show up in this. They shouldn't.
I'd agree.
But I mean, like, I don't fucking know if Boba Fett's in it for a minute or something. Like, people might like that or something. It might be like, oh, I didn't expect that when I shelled out a ticket. Cool. I like getting something new. And that could help its word of mouth.
Yeah, I think word of mouth for sure, I think, is going to help a film like this. Whereas, as far as like, oh, it is like, it's not just I have Mandalorian at home. There's a legit reason for me to like go and see the big screen spectacle version of this thing. I do think Star Wars is in this position where it's never really had to rely on the marquee names, right? It's more the brand Star, especially now. It's the brand Star Wars, right? You didn't see Rogue One because it had all of those people in it necessarily. You saw it because it's the Star Wars thing. Sure, I want to go see what that is. And this is like, all right, yeah, the iconography of Star Wars seems in and of itself the thing, you're, and Grogu, of course, who plays himself. Itself.
It says Grogu as himself.
Like, that's what's, I think, selling the movie is, compared to, like, oh, it's Pedro Pascal behind the helmet. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's Sigourney Weaver.
Hopefully he's going to have more. Less like, too. Yeah.
Although, if they release a... remember how, like, the Mario Galaxy movie dropped a Star Fox poster a week before release?
Character
It'd be
poster?
Very funny. Yeah. If they dropped a Watto character poster,
Watto,
Watto, there's only one person that can help us now, Grogu.
That'd be so out of left field, but I'd be like, you know, this is fucking cool.
Watto and Dexter Jetster show up on a pirate ship and are like, hey, everybody.
Griffin Newman would be ecstatic.
Guys, guess what's happening? It's Lobot. And there he is, like, doing this with his headphones and his bald head.
And Griffin Newman as himself. He's
exactly. George,
where am I?
John Where's Williams reprises his role as bartender on planet.
General Quad Paws here, everybody. Yeah. No, Dr. Quad Paws, not a general.
that torture doctor bot thing that's there. It's own character poster.
Yeah.
Do we think Passenger makes anything?
It's a good trailer, but
it's weird because I saw the trailer, but I looked it up after the movie or after I got out of a movie like a few weeks ago, and it was unclear as to like what even movie I was talking about. So it seems as though it's kind of like a mess.
It's also turned out to be a bad release date because they originally had it for May 29th, and then Backrooms opened there. And that's going to be a breakout.
That's the thing. People are very, there's a lot of us here that have Backrooms listed in some capacity. That seems like that has more of the horror juice around this time. And try to think like horror that does well during Memorial Day times. It doesn't tend to be like a big breakout, as I can recall. Counter programming for sure, but not like, substantial box office.
Poltergeist opened like 11 years ago, which would be for Passenger, if it did like half that, Paramount would probably be fucking doing cartwheels.
I think that they would be, I think that they'd be like celebrating crazy. But what happens next week?
Next week, we do have Backrooms, of course. We also have Nate Bargatze's The Breadwinner. Mm-hmm. We have Pressure. Mm-hmm. And that's that.
And Tuner.
We have Pressure. What?
Tuner.
And Tuner. The
What's Tuner.
Leo Woodall
Dustin Hoffman movie where he's like the guy who can hear things well or whatever, and he's like a safecracker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems like that's going to be probably not making it in my top 10. But
it's Tuner Summer, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. He's a tuna. That's like.
Does anybody have Backrooms in their actual top 10?
In the actual top 10, as of now, I do not see it. I see
you have. Yeah, so I think that we're all probably aligned about
Alan Aguilera has it.
The first time I saw the trailer for Backrooms, I was watching the movie Exit 8.
Yes.
And as I started to see the trailer, I'm like, this looks like the same movie. Or like it has some similarities to it.
They're both they're both indie video games that have a similar sort of solve this puzzle sort of a loop situation.
And again, a lot of like internet lore culture in these types of movies. Do you know how old the director is for this?
14.
Yeah, he's like 20 years old. Yeah.
What am I doing with my life?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The first trailer was a teaser where it's just like a camera going through a whole bunch of levels. And I was like, this is interesting. And then I caught the actual trailer in a movie that I was watching. And I was like, man, it's got me hooked. I want to know what this mystery is or what's happening here. So I'm curious about it. And I think the internet will kind of rally behind it, which is why I have it in Dark Horses.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's holding me back is just like, as much as I'm happy to throw things in Dark Horse, it's just like, it's still got to make like a lot of money.
It's got to make a lot of money, like 50 some odd million plus.
Yeah. Boy, it's got to make like 100 to be in the top 10.
Yeah,
that's
the point.
It's got to be in the top 10.
Well, you're only getting a point if it gets to the top 10, and the top 10 requires you to be at least $100 million.
That's like, absolutely true.
Yeah, it's I'm all for that happening. I'm not seeing it right now. I'm seeing success.
It essentially would have to be weapons. I mean, that's the kind of movie. Yeah.
Wow. Exactly. Yeah.
And weapons had a really great ad campaign. This is coming from, what is it coming from? It's
A24. Yeah.
Which, and that would have to make it one of their biggest releases of all time.
It'd have to be their biggest it'd have to be their first $100 million grosser domestically.
Again, separate from this game, I absolutely believe that it could be a big hit. I don't deny that. In terms
of big hit, like 50 million.
No, that yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
True.
Like, I could see hitting 80 or 85. Even,
yeah, if it doesn't, it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. But good on it. Yeah.
For the sake of the game, though, it's like I can't.
I see where you guys are hedging your bets there. Yeah.
We do have the breadwinner from Nate Bargatze, who is a very big comedic force right now.
My mom loves him.
Yeah. A lot of people's mom loves him. I mean, that seems like a good way to describe it. That's not true. There's a lot of people.
I like his comedy.
I do too. I've only seen some. I haven't like gone about a way to see it, but I do like him when I see him. I know Brandon Peters, friend of the show, he's a big fan of Bargatze. Like, he's a very likable guy.
Yeah.
And he's certainly been having, you know, his own moments right now. He's hosting a show on NBC, I believe, right now. He hosted the Golden Globes a couple years ago.
Right.
He's certainly building enough of a reputation to have what looks like a terrible looking movie coming out this summer. So, I mean,
it looks awful.
Yeah. He's getting those checks, man.
That's the thing. I don't think the movie looks particularly good, but maybe there's a number of people that are just like, this is exactly what I needed. Mr. Mom retread.
Mr. Mom.
Discovering that it was from a conservative entertainment company was the least surprising thing of the year, because it has that vibe. 100%. As someone who like went to church for so many years and was in this weird non-denominational Christian church, it has the vibe of like what Christian people who don't want to hear fuck or see boobies in movies would be like, yes, gender essentialism, yes, like. Okay, cool.
We're gonna have you on to guest report for us about what that movie went.
why are y'all sending the trans woman in there? That's mean. Lisa, can you go check out the new Daily Wire movie? Okay, I guess I'll get my will in order.
But even then,
the fucking thumbnail: one trans woman, 50 Daily Wire moviegoers.
There's space for just like a comedy, like
especially this early in the summer too.
And as far as testing Bargatze as like a possible, because this is his first movie, he hasn't been
it's his first movie. And kudos to them for releasing it early summer.
All right, let's get to the next thing: Masters of the Universe, Power Ballad, and Scary Movie.
Yeah.
And the Amazing Digital Circus, The Last Act.
Right. We got to move. We can't keep adding these little movies. we got to keep this thing going.
Yeah. I want to ask Mark. Mark, I think you have Masters of the Universe in your top 10, yeah?
Correct. Yeah, I have it at number 10.
Okay. So you're thinking that the train has it going to 100 million plus.
Yeah, I think that it could be fun. It's sort of, a good version of this movie would be like Flash Gordon 1980, like fun sci-fi. Yeah, it connects in sort of a campy way. I think, I don't know, it really could go either way. The trailer has a lot more CGI in it than I would like. Mm-hmm. So that makes it look a little sort of, you know, muddy. But, I think if it has a sense of humor and it connects in that sort of fun sci-fi serial type way, I think I could leg up to like 100 million. I definitely think it could be a success.
Okay. I like who's involved. It's Travis Knight, our guy from Laika. He's making another live action movie. There's people in there that I like quite a bit. I think this is going to be the biggest bomb of the summer. So that's why it's nowhere near my top 10.
It'll get outgrossed by the fucking Amazing Digital Circus movie. I don't think that's a question.
I'd love to be wrong, but at the same, I just don't think there's any desire to see He-Man from today's audiences.
Yeah, I hope it's a really fun movie to go watch. I'm not sure about the box office, but you know, again, definitely, I'm gonna eat my own words if Mark is like fucking nailed it.
Yeah, well, I have it at number 10, so it's not like it's going to set the box office on fire, but I do think There's elements to this that I think could connect with certain people, and it could do well. So,
We shall see.
We'll see. Yep. Am I the only one that has this in there?
Nope, not at all.
On the show.
Between us, yes.
Yeah,
Let's see. Maxwell has it as a dark horse. Todd Liebenow has it in his top 10. Terrence has it in his top 10. There's a few people that have and higher than you. They have it at like 9 and 8.
Right.
Yeah. So, and also I was looking at some of the, I'm looking at Scary Movie 6, and I don't know what your feeling of that trailer is. It looks awful. Like that. Oh. Talk about bad trailers. I didn't laugh at all.
I've seen that trailer multiple times in theaters. The audiences are roaring. So
yeah, it looks we got like different cinematic theaters. Torture.
So I did not have that experience. I've seen it in a crowded theater, and there was no laughter.
Yeah.
So in those scary movies, I mean, the last one didn't do. I mean, it didn't do 100 million. So I don't see how that.
The ones before it were huge.
Pretty
fifth,
large.
The fifth one just kind of like randomly got dropped into the theaters.
Yeah, and this one has a 6 at the end of it. So I don't think that's...
But it has the return of the Wayans brothers.
Technically, it's just called Scary Movie. And what I'm riding on is the fact that, yes, the Wayans are back involved. The Wayans tend to do well, depending on what they're working on. And it's by default, a legacy sequel to a thing that people really did respond to back in a certain time
period.
In
the early aughts.
Yeah. And not just the ways they've been on Anna Faris back, they have Regina Hall back, people that people like quite a bit in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I can't, you know, I'm only speaking anecdotally, but the triggers kill every time I see them in triggers. Yes.
I would be so happy if this bombed. I'd love it so much. It looks like torture, but like it's going to be massive. It's going to probably be the thing that like brings even comedies back. Like it's going to be in there.
Well, the Naked Gun was pretty great. If that didn't do it, I mean,
that was a good movie.
I think the difference there is the Naked Gun is an older property. It's an older property starring an old man, starring Liam Neeson, who's already his own star is fading. Okay. Action movies don't sell anymore. It's not like the Wayans and Anna Faris and Regina Hall are young bucks either, but
they're
relevant
properties.
To the younger audience than Liam Neeson in a property that came from the 80s. did.
And the new one is also referencing Weapons, Terrifier, Long Legs, all these super modern films.
It even has like Michael stuff in it. And I was like, wow, these guys just really got on everything. So,
Remember how Scary Movie 4 like did like a, like had iPods, War of the Worlds, all that shit? Like, they'll just reference anything.
They'll reference everything. All right, what's next, Aaron?
I mean, War of the Worlds still fits in the horror category compared to what the...
What's next?
I guess.
Let's keep it going.
It's Disclosure Day.
Next
Disclosure
up,
Day.
We have Disclosure Day.
Bang.
Yeah, Disclosure Day. Yeah. Steven Spielberg, we're going to test out whether this old, never-recognized director can make an alien movie work. We'll finally see if he can make that happen. It's weird to say question mark on this one, but I want it to do well for sure. Yeah.
I was looking at Ready Player One and then how that movie performed. So that's how I'm kind of viewing this one.
Interesting.
That's a tougher one.
That's based off a book that people know.
Well, it's also selling all, like, look at all this IP that we have. Disclosure Day has nothing. It has, hey.
Well, the trailer, I don't know. What do you guys think of the trailer? It got me
I'm big on the trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, I am too.
It's
I
got like, the Devil Wears Prada 2's
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt.
comparison is Super 8.
Oh, interesting. Like, okay.
Original Spielbergian alien thing. 15 years later, it's harder to get original stuff at theaters, but unlike Super 8, this one has a little bit bigger of spectacle. It's not just one small town. They're clearly going all over the world, and they have bigger names. They've got Emily Blunt, Josh O'Connor. I'm sure all the producers were cursing themselves, wishing Wake Up Dead Man had gotten a theatrical release, so audiences would be a little more aware of Josh O'Connor.
The audiences keep watching La Chimera at home, though, so they're like constantly seeing O'Connor nonstop.
Mamma mia, I love Josh O'Connor.
He's great.
The fact that it's a Spielberg alien film just like makes me by default think surely that does well. Surely that just builds the right kind of esteem behind it. By the time it comes out and marketing's at like a full throttle, I can't imagine people being like, I don't want to see the new Spielberg alien movie. I feel like that's like, what else are you going to go see? That seems like the thing to go see. So I don't know.
I will say too that I think it could start a little slower and then gain steam. Just as a
it can hold. Like if it's just a good movie, people will keep like catching up with it over time.
Well, the full theatrical window kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, also, it's not like a film that has a big fan base, and it's not something that they're teasing as like, if you don't see it on opening day, it'll all be spoiled. It's a film aimed largely at 40 and up moviegoers that totally is like, if you see it in its third weekend, okay, you'll go and see it. It'll probably get a
good thing we're all 29
weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm 19. Looks
exactly. Yeah. Who's Steven Spielberg?
I only know a Subway Surfers.
What? Next up, we have, of course, The Death of Robin Hood and Toy Story 5.
Death of Robin Hood is my pick for like bomb of the summer.
Okay. That's a good category we should incorporate next year.
The budget can't be that high on that movie, though, right? I mean, that's...
No, but I think it won't even hit like 20.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised either with that, but all right. Anyway, Toy Story 5, Pixar's latest entry in their massive Toy Story franchise.
Yeah, this is a big one.
I mean, I have it at number one. I have it at number one. We'll talk about Spider-Man in a little bit, but like, it's Toy Story. I mean,
can I tell you that the thing that I struggled with the most on my top 10 was whether to put Toy Story 5 as number one or Spider-Man. And I went with Spider-Man back and forth. Toy Story 5 could be huge. So I get it.
Oh, it will be.
I just think that we're debating one or two, basically, but it's like, it's no doubt going to be a hit, but it's like, I can't count out Toy Story. And when I look at like, you know, Inside Out and Incredibles, when these sequels come out after these, you know, chunks of time in between them, people just want
but
not that.
But it's like the OG Pixar too, you know. I mean, and Mark, like, you know, to your point, like I have Toy Story in terms of numericals. I just put a dollar less to give Spider-Man 2 or to Spider-Man Brand New Day to go into second place. So it's really neck and neck there for me too.
Yeah, I guess my mindset was it's Toy Story 5. That was really the thing. And Spider-Man just seems like Tom Holland and Zendaya.
Spider-Man 4.
But it's not. They don't have the number in it. And I almost feel like this is like a new – it has the feel of like a reboot or something. It doesn't feel like just another entry in the thing. It feels like it's something that you could watch without having even seen the other Spider-Man movies. That's the gist I get from the trailer.
Yeah.
So – but I mean, I think they're both going to be huge movies. I just had to go with, I had to put one at the top, and that's why I went Spider-Man instead of Toy Story. But
yeah, I mean, it's entirely fair. Like it's you know, one of them seemed like they're going to be supreme champ no matter what. I'd be very surprised if there's another film that's vying for number one, unless Corporate Retreat is just that good. But you know, who knows?
Ball Weekend.
But you know, this idea of the children's, I mean, not necessarily children's movie, but sort of a movie for families versus the superhero movie. This played out last year with Lilo and Stitch and Superman. And Lilo and Stitch did win that battle. But I think my feeling is this time it's going to flip.
Hmm. We shall see.
Okay, we'll find out.
Next week we have, I didn't realize it was the same date, Jackass Best and Last and Supergirl.
Oof.
Both contenders. I was Supergirl, probably a bit more so by default, just by being a superhero movie and not a movie where all the dudes get together and put firecrackers in their asses again. But I mean,
I think they're too old for that.
Best and the last, Abe.
Knoxville's like, I miss getting run over by bulls.
Fingers crossed that they do that in Supergirl.
We're all pretty similar on this one. Let's see. Aaron and I both have it at eight, and Abe and Lisa, you have it at 7. So
yeah,
if Black Adam can open to 67, I cannot imagine a Supergirl directly connected to last year's well, like Superman, opens lower than that. Mm-hmm. But also, nothing in the trailer makes me think it can go much higher than that.
That's where I'm at too.
Trailer.
We're all the same.
Yeah, there's sort of a mood to the trailer. She seems kind of sullen, or I'm not sure what the vibe they're going for with this superhero, but it didn't really, I don't know.
It all comes down to like what her arc is going to be as far as I was there when my planet, you know, just was destroyed as an adult, enough of an adult to recognize the, you know, the emotion that comes with it. I have to learn to, you know, get along with people again and find a new home. So like by the end of the movie, we'll get a happy Supergirl, I'm sure. But
sure.
I think they're aiming for like, the concept seems to be like she's tormented anarchic punk person. Trailer. Millie Alcock's performance so far certainly seems to be giving that's definitely the vibe I got from her Superman cameo.
Right.
God, does she look fun in this, but the vibe of the trailer, because of its minimal color palette and more generic action bits, kind of just makes it look like dour.
Yeah.
Fun.
And, you know, I think that they're doing the smart thing with David Corenswet voicemail right at the beginning. Just be like, by the way, these two are connected. You know, if you didn't remember, they're
cousins.
Remember
me?
Yeah. And, you know, maybe he'll show up in the cameo.
Wait a minute. Superman's related to Supergirl?
Wait a minute.
I know. It's quite
all my fan fiction.
The files are in the computer?
But no, I would be, you know, if we're talking about just the movie, I would be surprised if, like, thematically, the movie starts, like, opening up more as it goes along. And, like, you know, it's like, oh, we found the color because she's happier.
Sure.
But whatever. I'm
excited to see it and find out.
I'm excited to see it just because I want to see it. Craig Gillespie doesn't necessarily excite me, but I'm also like,
understood.
The most bizarre choice.
Yeah. So,
a side note, just in terms of characters' surprise appear, we were talking about with Mandalorian. Please put Comet the Super Horse in this movie. Oh my God. He's in the comic that this is based on.
Yep.
You can't do, in my opinion, doing a Supergirl movie without the human turned horny horse named Comet is like doing a Spider-Man movie without the wet red suit.
If they have that, that'd be incredible. I'd be like A+.
Yeah, like you just have these close up shots of the horse internal monologue going like, God, I'm so horny for Supergirl, but I'm a horse.
Speaking of cameos from big monsters, Jason Momoa does have a big presence in this trailer, as well as Lobo. Right. Which Lobo. I can't imagine hurts having Jason Momoa in your back pocket is like another thing to appreciate.
Aren't audiences going to get confused though? Because like Lobo is already on Krypton, the most beloved show of all time. Aren't they going to be confused why there's two Lobos? Yeah, all the Krypton heads.
We'll find out.
We'll see.
As long as we're not confused with his Minecraft character, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jackass 5, of course, also opens that date.
Yep.
I'll be curious. Like,
me too.
Jackass has, I don't think
Bam is back.
It's never had. Is he? I don't think he is.
It seems like he's listed in the credits.
Archival footage only, but they're
They don't anything with Bam anymore.
Yeah. They don't really fuck with Bam anymore for sure, which is why he wasn't.
He got a restraining order against him, so he kind of hard to do on the set.
Yeah, I'm curious like what happens, but yeah, the last one was a good time at the theater. It's in my Dark Horse.
It's curious because like on the one hand, Jackass Forever, which was awesome, but like that felt like the end. So it's a little odd that we're going back for another one. On the other hand, it's Jackass. People know what they want are going to get in the theater. I wouldn't be surprised if it makes some dough.
Yeah. Have these had, I think the first one was a summer release. It was like an August release, right? The first Jackass movie.
Yeah.
The other ones, though, have all been like October releases generally. Is that accurate?
Spallish. September was for the second one.
Okay. So, yeah, testing it out in the summer again. Well, I'll be curious, but I do think there's an audience there.
Absolutely.
Speaking of audiences, July 1st, Minions and Monsters. The Minions are back.
They are indeed.
I'm gonna say this, and Mark, you might appreciate this. I'm actually interested in a Minions movie this year. The way they've advertised.
Why now?
Because there, it's said to be a tribute to 20s silent film era, and I'm like, what does that mean?
Bring the families in.
I could care less about the fit. They'll see it regardless. As far as Aaron goes to the movies, I finally might be actually invested in seeing what this actually turns into, as opposed to being either begrudgingly dragged to it or just skipping it altogether. So it has that going for it. Outside of that, Minions movies make monsters amount of cash. So, I mean,
yeah. There's no denying its box office prowess for sure.
Yeah. And we all have it like three or four. So,
yeah, exactly. I've been burned by hating them before in the past. I've learned my lesson.
Between the Despicable Me and Minions movies, the second Minions movie is still the highest domestic grosser. I mean, what do we do about that? Yeah. It's just crazy.
Right.
All right. Let's jump a week ahead. We get to July 10th. We have Moana and Evil Dead Burn.
Mm-hmm.
So Moana, are we thinking?
Yeah, this was interesting. So obviously this is the direct analog would be Lilo and Stitch. But I don't know about you guys. What do you, the trailer? I just don't know. It didn't really.
Trailer doesn't excite me.
No, and Lilo and Stitch, there was something about that I thought, oh, this looks really cute, and I think I like the way that they're interpreting the cartoon, Moana just looks like we already have this movie. And I just don't know. Again, I think it's going to be big. I mean, I've got it at number three. So obviously it's huge. But I just can't see it doing anything more than that. And you have it at eight. So you definitely don't have like huge confidence in it.
The two comparisons from Moana, and I've said this before or elsewhere, are the other two 2025 family films with hideous visuals that are like sin, a Snow White and a Minecraft movie. And there's those each point down a different road. Either this becomes the next Minecraft where audiences are like, yes, give me the hideousness. I love it because it's familiar enough. Or it's a Snow White where that's a bridge too far. It's just like, I can't handle those dwarves. I want to go home. I think Moana's got more of a modern relevancy to kids.
It does, for sure.
Snow White, but I don't... If it does more than 150, I'm going to be domestic. I'm going to be shocked, only because it's too soon. It doesn't have the nostalgia pull of the 90s live-action Disney remakes like Little Mermaid, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, etc. And it's opening a week after Minions. And I just feel like Minions is going to take up a lot of that oxygen.
I think between that already having Toy Story, it's not like family audiences aren't having like a lack of resources when it comes to what they can take them to at this point. Yeah, so saying,
exactly.
Hey, we've already seen a new Toy Story and a new Minions. Now we're going to see a repeat of a movie you guys watch on Disney Plus every day. That seems like less of a priority. At the same time, as far as comparisons go, honestly, I looked to Little Mermaid, where obviously the movie was a hit, but it wasn't as big of a hit as like Lion King or Beauty and the Beast, right? It made money, but it was like slightly coming up short. And I feel like this is in that same kind of realm.
That's its run was like still like 250.
Yeah, which is good enough for like number four or five. Yeah, like, but Lilo and Stitch is massive.
Lilo and Stitch is like
massive. Like,
I think that something you mentioned around the Toy Story stuff too is like there's time in between. So Lilo and Stitch had all that time in between, the original anime back in 2000, 2001 into like its live action. Whereas Moana is like, I feel like that came out like last year, the animated one, but it's been a while.
Well, the second one came out pretty recently.
Yeah, oh, there was a second one. That's fuck. That's look,
that's
I,
why you
I can't remember. Say, yeah.
Remember we talked about it for 3 hours. No, I'm kidding. Remember all those songs we sang together?
I totally forgot that those. Like, I was like, why is this so like?
Yeah, it's because they had Moana. It had Moana too.
And but that was one where we were like, oh, it feels like it should have been Disney Plus because
it was Disney Plus.
Yeah, okay,
more of a movie.
Yeah.
At the same time, before that, this is of course the running joke I've had where I feel like The Rock just like randomly went on Hawaii to film that video where he said we're doing a Moana live action remake, and Disney's like, wait, what are we doing? so, now they like finally had to make it.
Dwayne, you got Rogue.
would not be surprised if he just did that.
After he got done talking to his financial associates about the box office of Black Adam, he's like, let me go to Hawaii with my kids and film a video. I got an idea. Evil Dead Burn. I know that's come up a few times in Dark Horses here and there. We haven't seen a summer Evil Dead movie before. I don't necessarily think it's going to suddenly break out and make $100 million, but no. I'm not against it becoming it's a sturdy brand. That's why we're on
totally
the fifth one, the sixth one, with another one coming next year already. So
these do pretty well, and this one's being released like right in the middle of the summer.
Major counter programming for sure, because Evil Dead movies are. Not for the lighthearted.
Tell me you can't bring kids. There's going to be kids involved.
There will be kids involved. You're right. I'm not necessarily saying it, making the top 10, right. But good on them for being like, let's play with the big boys. Let's put it in July.
Mm-hmm. New Line Cinema has had some horror hits in July. Don't forget.
Yeah.
With the Conjuring one.
Sure have.
They've made their bank there. Evil Dead seems like a good bet to mimic that. Lights Out.
Lights Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, July
Odyssey
17th.
Yep.
The Odyssey.
And Cut Nolan
and Cut Off. Yes, I have. Which I'm like, what is Cut Off again? What is that? No, wait, seriously.
Oh, the Jonah Hill movie. Okay,
with Nathan Lane.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Jonah Hill's already 0-1 for me this year. So we'll see.
I presume that fucking Keanu Reeves they got dumped to Apple just so he could be like, okay,
get it.
That's done.
Yeah.
Now
let's focus on this one.
Yeah.
Remember how when you liked me doing like the 21 Jump Street stuff where I was falling down on the car? This is like that. I'm back. Yay. I'm back.
Yes. I just want to publicly note that I miscalculated on the Odyssey. So, Aaron, I will send you an update. Yeah. Okay. So,
how the fuck does Odyssey not make money? That's the question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I definitely forgot to factor in a multiple of two.
So, it's a matter of how much money the Odyssey is going to make, right? We all have it pretty high, I think, here. Yeah, Mark, you have it, I think, lowest by default at like fifth, right?
I have it at five. Yeah.
Okay. At least you have it second place.
Second place. Wow. Okay.
I have it fourth just because, like, between Minion, Spider-Man, and Toy Story, it's like, that's a lot of money to go around. I mean, Christopher Nolan's coming back with a PG-13 fantasy epic off of his massive win from the Oppenheimer. He's basically the biggest director in the world. He's got a ginormous cast that includes such heartthrobs as Matt Damon and not Tom Hardy, and you know Zendaya and Anne Hathaway.
Travis Scott
and Travis Scott. Yes. So the world is his oyster as far as like this will be a success no matter what. It's a matter of just how much money it's going to make, and it's like I don't know. Like you have to kind of like what are the comps? You have to look at like other fantasy films of this kind of nature, and it's like Troy. Like I'm trying to think of anything like.
And
this.
Even that, those don't feel like applicable because again, it being a Nolan thing,
yeah, puts it in a whole other thing. So it's like, is it Inception / what the Batman movies? I mean, like it's
interesting. Yeah.
It is a whole other thing, but I think it cracks 100 on opening weekend.
I wouldn't be surprised. They certainly Universal kind of put their pointed the finger in the air. They stuck their flag in the ground and everything when they're like, we're going to sell tickets a year in advance.
Yeah.
They know what they have. Interestingly, it's I think one of the few IPs that going to be a blockbuster based off of things you read in high school, which is always a fun genre to play with. Yeah. I mean, Mark, any thoughts on the Odyssey?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be huge. But I mean, I have it at five. I think that's pretty high. I mean, you have it at four. Abe, you had it at six, but you're going to change
I miscalculated,
that,
I yeah. Yeah, like it'll probably be like in four or five.
Yeah, and
the movies in this top five are all
Lisa,
like...
Lisa, you have it at
we're
number
all flirting
two.
We're all flirting in the 250 and above category.
Yeah, basically, right. Yeah. It might even higher. Be like the 300s. Yeah.
My prediction is like Toy Story 5 makes like $5 million more than Toy Story 4, which would be 425 domestic. Okay. And then Odyssey does like 440, 450.
Wow. Okay.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot. But again, Nolan seems to own box offices whenever his movies come out these days. So we've talked about it before, you know, IMAX, and then just everyone will go out to see the premium price tickets. So, yeah.
All right. Is there nothing between that and Spider-Man? Like, I guess
there's like a handful of little movies, like the Hadestown film thing is coming out from Bleecker Street that weekend.
Mm. Okay,
I see something called Motor City.
Oh, is the IFC releasing that then? The Alan Ritchson one where he's silent and he kills people.
That's what that is. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah,
it is Alan Ritchson. Yeah, 1970s Detroit.
Into that.
Okay.
The piano is getting a re-release that weekend.
Yeah, you know.
It's from Jane Campion?
Yes, Jane Campion's the piano.
Oh, that's going to dominate.
Great, yeah.
Get that Harvey Keitel's dong on the screen. Yeah.
You guys both said it at the same time.
We know what we're talking about.
Harvey's Keitel.
Yeah.
What comes out after that?
After that, we have Spider-Man, colon, Brand New Day.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt that it's the first Spider-Man film in a while. It's coming off of No Way Home, which was, you know, massive. It has
way more massive than I thought. I looked up the numbers. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was like, what, 800
like almost
million?
Yeah,
domestic?
Almost a billion. Yeah, exactly.
Because it was one of those, like, it's Christmas time, and it's like, we're still coming out of COVID, so it's like, hey, it's cool to go again. And like,
no, I was, like, mentally, I was thinking, as I was looking up, like, 400 million. It's like, double that. That's insane.
And
I was like, is that worldwide or just domestic? It's just domestic.
Yeah. No Way Home is still the biggest movie of the decade so far.
Jeez.
Which is fucking wild.
The massive, you know, fan service it had going for with all the other Spider-Mans in it.
Like, that's true. Just, that's true. Yeah.
Can you say that again? The other Spider-Man?
Spider-Man in accounting.
Yeah.
What is the reason for a Spider-Man? I don't.
I've been doing
that. It's just an Aaron thing.
I've been doing that for a long time. I think of him like an office drink. Spider-Man over, you know.
I know. Actually, I expect you to say Spitter - man, colon, brand new day. I mean, that's
too,
what I really
get it right, Aaron.
Too,
even
too
Mark
brand
knows
new
our
day.
Show.
It's too yeah. much. But
that's
yeah,
too much.
Day, it has everything going for it. It has two of the most likable people in the world starring
They're
the film.
Huge. I mean, yes.
Like Jacob Batalon. Yeah, keep going. Who's the
Jacob,
other?
Jacob Batalon.
Sadie Sink.
And Sadie Sink.
Sadie
yes.
Sink. Yeah, perfect.
And Tramell Tillman.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they've got everything in this one. They've
yeah.
They've got Hulk. They've got fucking the Spider-Man suit looks good. It's like, what do you need? A roadmap? Spider-Man movies
yeah.
make money.
There's not
even
a lot.
The dog shit Amazing Spider-Man 2 made $200 domestic.
Better than other movies. But it's not. There's not a lot to like ding it against. I mean, it's not like it doesn't have the baggage of the MCU to have to work out because it's just its own thing. It exists despite Mark Ruffalo showing up to be like, look how handsome I am. Mm-hmm. But like, it's.
He is
it's
quite handsome. Yeah.
Well, he took a shave and he did that one yoga yeah. class at Crime
right.
101. So he's really happy. But yeah, no, it's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to do well. It's going to do well. Unless mm-hmm. they like just re-released the 1978 movie instead of Brand New Day, then I can't imagine the word of mouth will be toxic. Like,
yeah, well,
end of summer too.
I do think that Spider-Man is probably, to me, the last big movie of the summer. I don't see anything after that
well,
really threatens
we have
it.
August is, this is the first August, I think, in the 2020s that's actually full of shit. Like, full of stuff that's coming out. August in, like, 2022 after Bullet Train was, like, it's gone. Nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. Even August 2025 had that problem last year. But this year we've actually got, like...
I mean, Weapons came out last year. I mean,
Weapons, excuse me. I actually rescind that. But, yeah, 2022 definitely had that problem, and 2023 did. But, mm-hmm. like, 2026 actually has a bunch of stuff that, like, could be big sleeper hits. One Night Only, I do think, has the potential... to become a new rom-com hit.
In terms of like
perfect time.
You're thinking of like breakouts for relative to the size of movie compared to like, you know, knocking out and coming onto the top 10, though, I'd say. Like I can agree with Mark as far as for the purposes of this game, I don't see a lot that could necessarily make the top 10. Maybe End of Oak Street if it turns out to be like this buzzy hit based off like reviews and like all the word of mouth behind it. I would say Insidious, except it doesn't have Patrick Wilson, and it's coming out way too late in the summer to be like a bigger hit. Because like,
yeah.
the red Kim door Tom. was a good hit. It was on the top 10 that year. Like
that's
it made,
right.
And it was in July.
It was a
yeah,
new technically. It had time, and it had the legacy sequel factor of having both the kid and Patrick Wilson and Rose Byrne back that movie. Super Troopers has never been like a giant thing.
No, and I didn't know that they got in the funding for it. I'm happy that they did, but I didn't know that they achieved their funding goals to try and make the third
one. This looks better than the second one. So I'm excited for Super Troopers.
Cool. Yeah.
And then I don't
know. Versus Acme will be in there too.
Sorry.
Yeah. I was kind of bummed out that it got such a late release in the summer for Coyote versus Acme.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like either like late July or early August, but you know, late last weekend of August is it's not going to have any legs for our game.
To just go through these real quick, we have Fall 2 and Ice Cream Man and One Night Only all opening on August 7th. Fall was, what, like a decent hit for Lionsgate, right?
Oh, that movie where the two people
on
the tower?
On the big tower.
Yeah.
Now they're on the same tower again. They're like, how do we get back on here? No, that's not what it is.
Wait, I was like, for real? I was like, wow, what a
amazing.
Yeah,
the same climb up to the same guy twice.
Yeah.
it opens on with the top and they just start lip syncing to that one Nickelback song. It's like, how the hell did we wind up like this? And why weren't we able?
Look at this photograph.
Look at this rope. Every time
but,
I do, it makes me laugh.
So there's that. There's Ice Cream Man, which is Eli Roth's latest horror film. We have seen nothing on it yet, so I can't go either way. And Lisa, you pointed out One Night Only as a potential dark horse for you.
Yeah, I had to look that one up.
That is my pick. It's a good high concept premise. Will Gluck has more hits than misses. Late summer, again, August tends to be a good spot to release romance-themed movies aimed at women. Crazy Rich Asians, It Ends With Us. Mm-hmm. I'd say keep an eye on that one.
All right.
Okay.
The weekend after that, we have Super Troopers 3 is also that weekend. But again, I don't.
Right.
It's a Searchlight movie from a property that had to be funded by fans to exist.
Yeah.
So I'm not expecting the most. The End of Oak Street, Paw Patrol 3, the Dino movie.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and, exactly.
And The Rivals of Amzia King all open on that on that date. Again, The End of Oak Street, I think, has potential. You know, you have some.
Was that did that sit on the shelf for a while?
No, which one? No, that's
End of Treat.
It just it filmed like a little while ago, but it's just been being worked on. I mean, it's just
sure.
The they just had to delay the release because they filmed with IMAX cameras, and mid-August was the only spot on the calendar where they were available for like a week. So, yeah,
but it's not the result of any like behind the scenes dealings or whatever. It's just more of just the matter of where it wound up.
It's like the fifth movie that Anne Hathaway is in this summer. She's like in everything.
Yeah, she got Mother Summer Mary, Hathaway. Mother Mary, Devil Wears Prada, Odyssey, and The End of Oak Street.
Yeah.
And,
give me more.
I mean, who knows? She might be a voice in Toy Story 5. We'll never know.
Maybe she's an Evil Dead Burn as a deadite.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe she's in Scary Movie. We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. We won't know until we know.
How do these Paw Patrol movies do? How's that been?
Good.
I actually don't know. They do pretty well.
They're very lucrative.
Yeah.
They make like 70 here, like 150 worldwide, so.
Got okay, it. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Not top 10 big, but still big enough to be
still big enough to make to a third one. Making them. Yeah, exactly.
I am curious that we have The End of Oak Street and Paw Patrol 3, which is the dino movie on the same date, which both have dinosaurs in them. That's fun.
Dinosaurs.
We can make a Barbenheimer out of that.
Oak Patrol.
We already got it.
Oak Patrol.
The end
of Paw Street.
The week. The next week we have Insidious: Out of the Further, as well as Mutiny and Spa Weekend. What is Spa Weekend?
That's the new movie from the Bad Moms directors.
Continuation.
That would actually probably be a decent hit if it was coming from anyone but Black Bear. So that's going to be
that studio again.
Got it.
But Who knows? Maybe there's some audience there.
And what is Mutiny? What is that one?
That's Jason Statham on a boat.
Oh, that's me. That's a
saving
movie.
Human trafficking.
Yeah,
That's a guaranteed $25 million right there.
Yeah, and I was gonna be like, you know, Statham makes money. I would have been more worried if it was earlier in the summer, but yeah.
He's holding an anchor on the poster, so that's gonna probably
that anchor. Motherfucker is strong. Then
look at his anchor.
Yeah. Also, the Magic Faraway Tree from Britain will finally hit the U.S.
Oh, thank God.
Hey.
All right.
Peter's like, oh, thank Lord. Thank God.
Wrapping up August, we have Coyote versus Acme, the Cliffhanger remake, and The Dog Stars, a Ridley Scott sci-fi blockbuster that I can't help but wonder why it's not moved already to some other date. Like, it seems really weird that it's sticking with this so far. But all right. Coyote versus Acme, we've already talked about a bit. It's the same as coming out so late in the summer. But I feel like Ketchup Studios just doesn't have like much draw or much priority compared to other studios to be like, we want this date. And so they got the last date of August. Yeah. But hey, it's coming out.
Yeah.
That's a win right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Perfect.
Some people have it on their top 10 and I'm like, yeah, sure. We'll make $100 million in 1 week. Good guess. I don't know.
It's not going to happen. If it reaches 30 domestic, like Lifetime, Ketchup is fucking popping open champagne bottles. They're like, yeah! our biggest movie up to this point made $7
million. But, so we have Cliffhanger. How much did Point Break make again when that got
the re-release?
Overseas did quite well, as I recall. Actually,
yeah, though, but we had a great time talking about that one.
Cliffhanger might not come out this summer.
Oh,
is it possible to move?
The distributor.
Yeah,
they didn't get the distribution right, so who knows if it'll get out in time. I'm so sorry, listeners. I know you're all excited for the Cliffhanger remake.
All no one that predicted will have to move that off their lists. Yeah. And then we have The Dog Stars, which is what Jacob Elordi, a dog, and some other people.
It's Ridley Scott, though, right?
It's Ridley Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know.
The way something. That you said that, Aaron, I thought that Jacob Elordi was playing a dog.
It's a Jacob Elordi,
a dog. And I was like, excuse me?
It's just
this is great.
I'm just surprised we're getting an adaptation of Keanu Reeves Band as a movie. That's great. That's great for them.
Dog Stars is gonna bomb bad.
Yeah. End of August, we'll see.
I'm curious. It's so strange to me. It's just, I guess it's because Labor Day weekend will maybe give it some kind of a weird boost or so. I don't know. We technically do have a last weekend of the month, which is How to Rob a Bank. That's right before this whole thing ends. Which who is that again? There's a few.
Nicholas Holt from David Leitch.
David Leitch.
Oh, right. Interesting. Okay.
Which it has, as we recall, it has a fun premise, but
yeah,
it's merely on there just to signify that's the end of the summer. So that is the wrap up here. And before we completely end the show, Mark, do you need to take off?
Yeah, this is probably a good time for me to bow out.
Okay, so where can people find more of your work online?
So you can read my personal blog, fastfilmreviews.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hoban.
Great. Well, Mark, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you, Mark.
Our current reigning champ. We look forward to seeing how you
Your Highness.
This summer.
Yeah, we'll see ya. Yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed the discussion from everyone. Hopefully I won't change my picks, but...
Yeah, if you need to, just let me know.
Yeah.
I will say this. The only thing that you gave me pause about is switching Moana and Minions and Monsters. I wonder if I have Moana a little high and Minions and Monsters. I would be switching 3 to 4.
Yeah. We're already in a dark universe as it is, given the state of the world. So I won't be surprised if Moana makes the most money in the summer. It'll just be number one and blow all of us away. But
Moana, Spider-Man, that would be a shock.
It would
Moana, Scary Movie 6, and Young Washington dominate the
scene. Oh my god!
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Young Washington. Yeah,
I mean, it's gonna make some money.
Because it looks like fucking dog shit.
Is he sexy? Is he sexy, Young Washington?
Sexy.
Who's he played by?
Stupid. It's some Flanders. Mark, thanks for being on.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Thanks
for
joining
us. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, take care.
Bye.
The funniest part of the Young Washington trailer is how it opens with adolescent George Washington being like, "Father, can I be British?" And the father's like, "No,
no."
George. And I'm like, "No, wait, the actor is British. He can be. He is British."
That fucking liar.
You fucking.
Yeah.
George Washington,
you fucking sneak.
Wait a minute, my dad likes
you. You're going to join our colonies as a Brit?
You don't even know how to do tea. I do.
You don't even know how to do tea.
Do you think they're gonna show a scene in the third act where he gets wooden teeth? They're like, "Here you go, here you go, General."
The way you're describing this, I want it to be more just, it's completely Young Washington, and it's like it follows the exact plot of Michael. It's the same. He's trying to prove himself to his dad. It stops right when he's like about to swing an axe at a cherry tree. It's like,
Abe's description of the man with wooden teeth made me think at first it was the rival British soldiers doing it as like a torture thing.
As
like
a torture thing?
Yeah. And we're like, "We've got teeth for you." No!
Exactly. Yeah. He comes back to his soldiers.
Tobin Bell comes out and says, "I want to
Tobin Bell."
Where are the revolutionaries?
Where did you get this hacksaw? It's only 1774.
Hello, Mr. Washington.
That's like very good. Game. That's very scary. We're all going to go see Young Washington together then.
Oh, definitely.
Opening night.
We're going to, yeah.
If it's a new Kelsey Grammer movie, like Young Washington, you got to go see it.
You got to get it out for the Grams.
Y'all have seen his Expendables 3 character poster, right?
Oh, it's the best one. It's him standing. Yeah. Everyone else is like, Expendables 3 by far has the best set of character posters of all time because it's not like the picture they're taking. It's like most of it is the other angle of the picture that they're taking. It's so much fun. All of them are having a great time. They're all in black and white. They look great. Everyone else is giving like a fun pose or doing. Kelsey Grammer's just like mild smile with his hands in his vest pockets, being like, "Isn't it great to be here?"
I see him now. He's wearing like a fishing jacket.
Yeah, he's like a little. Does he have a hat on, or is it just his head?
He's got a little hat on. A little fishing
Bro's
hat
about
on.
To go fly fishing.
Look at all of the Expendables 3 character posters. All of them are like the guys having the most fun ever. Like you'd be like, where was that movie? That looks like everybody had a good time. Even young Glenn Powell, who in Expendables 3. That's how long he's been around.
he wasn't promoted as much beforehand as Kellan Lutz.
Kellan Lutz, jeez.
Look at Terry Crews as Expendables. He's having the time of his life in this poster. It is everyone's having a ball. They're all smiling. You've never seen any of these guys. What have you seen Jet Li smile? Can you think of Jet Li and be like,
his run in the 90s.
But in this poster, he's like, Harrison Ford just made a funny. I gotta laugh at that one. Like, he's just having a great time.
I'm seeing the Kellan Lutz one now. He's not smiling.
Lutz.
Terry Crews having a blast.
Yeah.
But this Kelsey Grammer one, it's clear that he's like thinking like, Yes, I did go to Juilliard. All right, Kelsey, we get it.
Summer 2014 was weird because, yes, I graduated high school, but more importantly, Kelsey Grammer was in two movies that cost over $100+ million each. Like, he was in Transformers 4
That's right.
And his conservative ass was all for the Decepticons. He's like, these guys know what they're talking about.
he's Harold Attinger.
Yeah. Obviously.
He has one of the best movie exchanges of all time with the villainous Lockdown, where he says, on my planet, we have a saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And Lockdown responds, oh, I have a saying on my planet, I don't care. Which is like pure poetry.
We should really write scripts for Hollywood. This seems pretty easy.
I believe he and Mark Wahlberg have a showdown, but Kelsey Grammer is luckily like saved by like Optimus Prime at the last second or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
No, not Kelsey Grammer is saved. Mark Wahlberg is saved.
Mark Wahlberg saved at the last second by Optimus Prime. But like Kelsey Grammer has like a gun, and he's like, "Ah, you bastard!" Like Optimus Prime.
It would be a twist. Twist of Optimus helped the villain.
You messed up my plans to destroy humanity using like Beats pills.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was like the tie-in.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci holds like a big pill in his hand at one point. Yeah, the Tucci. We've gone through the summer.
We still have
a number of guests that need to get their picks in, but there's nothing to really go over as far as anybody else's picks, but they're all relatively similar. We have a lot of the same. I'm trying to find any like big
anime that came out of left field with
Well, the only one that came out of left field is you and Marcus of Billie Eilish. Those are the only ones where we're like, oh, okay.
I mean, we'll see. I'm going to keep that one. You know, King Mark was like, you should keep it. So probably going to keep it.
You got to keep your $1 million arm alive. I get it.
But I definitely will be moving the Odyssey for sure. I looked at the wrong number and I was like, okay, I got to go put this back up. I was wondering like, why you guys put it so high? And then I was like, oh, I'm wrong.
Christopher Nolan guy, he's pretty popular,
right? Yeah. Also, like, yeah, you know, the number that I was looking at was not the right Oppenheimer number.
I do see Back Rooms quite a bit as far as
great
Dark Horses go, and I am looking forward to see how that goes.
Yeah.
And then in general, this summer has a lot of things I'm looking forward to, which you know most summers do. But
it certainly seems like it's going to be a healthy game this year because of so many. You know, IP movies.
Even beyond the game, I mean, just the lineup of movies that are coming out this summer. Sure. There's a lot of stuff I'm just excited to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for The Invite. I'm excited for I Love Boosters. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that should bring us to the end of this bonus episode about Now, Theron, Dave. You can find everything I do. How do we do the show again? You can find everything I do at my Cirrhosis Substack page, thecodazinc.substack.com. I write for Leave Entertainment. I co-host the other podcast, Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla, a show my friend and fellow film critic Terrence Johnson and I host about the films of Godzilla. And I'm on all the socials at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
You find more fun of our Instagram, abe.mua, and twitter.com/watersmoose, hashtag SG14.
Thank you.
Hello! Lisa Lehman here. Thank you. I'm on Looper. TheSpool.net, DallasObserver.com. Please check out my writing wherever people pay me to write.
Very good. You can find all the other episodes about Now, Theron, Dave on iTunes, Audible, Spotify, and Stitcher.
We're online. We're on the internet.
Yep. We're at all the socials. Find us there. Some form of Out Now podcast or Out Now.
Give us a review. Give us a rating.
Yeah, go to iTunes, Spotify, all that jazz. Give us a
submit
review.
Your own top 10 list.
Help us up with the charts. Death of Robin Hood 10 slots. Listeners, please do submit your top 10 chart courses for the
We'd love to see them.
A lot of fun. And Aaron, Abe, thank you for inviting me on. Thank you for letting me spread the Rango magic.
Rango.
We do love Rango on this podcast, yes. Happy to have you here. Happy to have Jeremy Fooster also involved, a friend of the show. He's on the Box Office Podcast with Scott Mendelson, perennial loser of the Summer Gamble. Scott Mendelson. But no, it is good to have you both on here to have some more experts in the world of box office on. I'm excited to see how the two of you do, along with Scott, of course, as well, and how everyone does in the Summer Movie Gamble 14.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this episode. Next week, we're talking The Devil Wears Prada 2 for episode 665. That's going to do it. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
Summer Gamble!